Let's chat about emotional maturity today.
Or the lack thereof.
Yeah. And emotional maturity is a big deal. I want to really segue in with this. I feel like a lot of my coaching clients have problems dealing with people of a younger age bracket, and they're not typically millennials, not singling anybody out. Typically, there's a disconnect between when someone who runs a company or is a superior and a person who is a subordinate and is typically 20 years younger. There's an age, there's sort of this age relative gap, meaning, okay, when I was your age, I did X, Y, Z. Okay. Either the superior is having foggy memory or the person beneath them is emotionally immature. I can't quite figure out the gap, but I want to run with this and assume that there's some emotional immaturity. You ever run into this, Jake?
I may run into it currently with coaching clients, and we both come from this, right? This is not new. This is not a new thing. I mean, this came out of once upon a time I did construction, and I was not emotionally mature to lead people at that point. And my managers, is what I would tell you, were not emotionally mature to be able to lead people. They managed. So this is not a new thing. We're having the conversation about, call it emotional intelligence. We hear that term thrown around a lot. Now I want to plus one this just a hair. Two things within industry, when we think, you know, managerial subordinate role, right? Employee, employer role, when we think of that role, two things occur. One is if you're the employer and you find that all of your employees are emotionally, whatever role they're in, are emotionally immature for the role that they're in. That's not their fault. It's yours. As the employer, that's your fault. You put them there. You interviewed them. You role casted them and placed them into that spot. A little bit of that is your fault. You got to own some of that as an employer. You just do. I know that's harsh to say. The other part of that is from the age gap thing. All of this goes back forever. The age gap thing goes back forever. And I used to deal with it too. And I'd get the standard answer of, I'd give some feedback. Here's, you make sure you understand I'm using that word specifically. I'd give some feedback to my employer, my manager at the time. And they would give me, well, this is the way we've always done it. And I've been doing this longer than you've been alive. Like, I have heard that one. And there is nothing that got me, I would quit a job over hearing that. I just would. Two spaces there. I was not emotionally intelligent to be able to deliver feedback in such a way that it was actually feedback. It sounded like criticism. And my employer at the time was not equipped to receive feedback. Like, they didn't understand that feedback is just feedback. So, I mean, I want to play that game just a little bit, but I wanted to set that stage a little bit around, you know, just so we all kind of understand where we're talking about. And the other part to understand is there's going to be a problem child in every age bracket, every geography, every annotation, whether it's baby boomer, Gen Z, millennial, technology native, take your demographic that you're going to name it. There's going to be a problem child in every one of those. And if you are dealing, let's say you hire as an individual, as an employer, you hire 20 millennials, because they're the ones you can afford. They're the ones that are currently have a skill set that are employable. You're going to whine that millennials are the problem, but that's because the vast majority of the people that you're around are millennials. Well, you may have 8 out of those 10 that are high performers and 2 that are jackwagons. That's going to be true of everybody you hire. So just from a percentage standpoint, if you hire one wrong hire, you're going to criticize and critique the whole population. We're going to jump to those meta models of every millennial is the problem. No, they're not. Maybe that one isn't trained well. Maybe you're not leading well. So I'm like, I am throwing loops all over the place for you today.
Well, I think if the coaching thing doesn't work out, maybe you should either be a lobbyist or an employee advocate guy, because it sounds like, you know, you're the underdog little man. Get the boot from above my head and press it off.
a little bit that way, right? And I can relate to it. It's because I can relate to it because I've always come from that growth mindset. You know, hey, we can do things better. We can be more efficient. And when you get into some of those spaces, some people are not willing to receive that feedback.
Right. But let's talk about a space you can get some feedback. Okay. And that is the Guild, right? So before we keep continuing this conversation, I want to bring up the Guild. And you know, this is that time of the episode where we talk about, let's get some quality coaching around these topics. Okay. And the Guild, what we're going to do for people is we're going to unlock tools, tricks and hacks and program blueprints to help people really forge through this, right? To move through these problems. Us Laser Coaching, there's a ton of information back there with video tutorials, and it is a networking community of like-minded individuals who are moving through things, who are disrupting, who are literally molding their future in a rapid way that people like our audience can plug into. So Jake, tell people how to access the Guild.
The Guild's pretty easy to access, guys. It's www.total-disruption.com is the primary place to go there and join the Guild. And I've got a plus one for you today because you always know I always do that. So first of all, I forgot to congratulate you. Congratulations on being a best-selling author.
Hey, thank you.
Check it out. So in that upper corner over there, above Mike, you're going to see the book. You're going to see the new book that's rolling out on Amazon. Here's what we're going to do for the Guild members. Here's how you join. If you're one of those, yeah, I'd like to try it out kind of people. I want to see if that's going to work for me. Cool. We hear that. Buy the book, get a free 30-day subscription. Buy the book, get a free 30-day subscription to the Guild. That's how it is. You can find it on Amazon. We'll get you the link to that one. We have specific deadlines. So check out the Facebook page so that you know when the book launch is happening. It's already out. It's already a bestseller. We're super stoked. But check out the Facebook page. Check out the YouTube page. Make sure you're following us on the social channels so that you can get the latest update. Because if you want the 30-day subscription, and here's what we're doing for all our current Guild members. We're playing Oprah. Everybody gets a book, right? All the current Guild members are getting books. So we're super stoked about that too. But yeah, man, that's where you find the Guild. That's what we're doing. And come join the conversation there. Come get coaching specifically to this. That's what we want to do for you guys.
I love it. Thanks, Jake. So let me go back to this for a second. You're right. It is, could be a cultural thing, but let's even work our way back to the psychology of perhaps talking about the mindset of maybe the millennials. And I don't want to be assuming. It occurs to me in this current society, right? There is a level of communication where the owner of a business or somebody is getting pressure from up top. We'll call it right now an owner of a business because that's who I work with a lot of business owners. There is a pace they're trying to set. And there should be an efficiency among employees when they're at work in the office or on the job that they're moving as fast as they can when they're currently plugged in. They're leaving their life behind for the time that they're in the building, in work, or in responsibility, we'll call it. And then when it's time to be done, they can put work away. Mm-hmm. There seems to be this gap. I don't know whether it's a work efficiency. I don't know what's going on, but there's a gap. Yes, you're right. It's probably up to the business owner to deal with this. But if you have a group of individuals coming in with a cultural mindset of everything's taken care of, I don't have to work as hard, super sensitivity. I mean, at what point do we have to slow the mindset down when we are, again, not being outright mean to subordinates, not being outright disrespectful? But where's the line there, Jake, between, okay, I'm trying to get this done to execute business goals. I'm communicating to you in a certain style of brevity, and I expect you as the subordinate, again, coworker, employee, to move along in the conversation with me and check your feelings at the door. I'm not being derogatory. I'm not being discriminative. I'm trying to get something done. So right here, I'd like to expand this conversation and move for the rest of the show sort of in this direction and get your take on that. Where do you come out with that, Mr. Employee Advocate?
Yeah, so you're right. It's a cultural thing. It's totally a cultural thing. Absolutely true. The there's an older book. I don't know if you remember. It's called The E-Myth. I think it's called E-Myth Methodology is what it's called.
E-Myth Methodology. I'm writing that down. Yeah.
So I gotta look that one up again. But there was this book specifically, and I bring this one up just from a conceptual standpoint, because not everybody is designed to be an entrepreneur, but like the E-Myth was all about how do you be this ultimate entrepreneur? How do you be this person? And so many people believed it was true, but it's not for everybody. So the exact same thing is true when it comes to subordinate, to employee. And you're right. When we come in as an employee mentality and we walk in the door as an employee mentality, we have to get rid of the, I'm going to be very cautious with my words here, entitlement. I'm not being very cautious. We have to get rid of the entitlement mentality as an employee. Like if you roll into McDonald's and your job is fry cook guy, it's your job.
I'm taking some notes on this actually.
Yeah, that's your job. You have got to put entitlement away. You've got to earn the right. You got to earn the right and you got to ask permission. So, I mean, as an employee, yes, I advocate for the bottom tier because everybody's scrapping and struggling and they want to be more and they want to do more. But you still got to shovel the shit. Like somebody's got to do it, man. Somebody's got to start there day one. It has to happen. If that's the job you took, that's the job you do. Plain and simple. Now, as a leader, and I use these words differently, and they're not interchangeable. There's managers, there's leaders. There's employers, there's leaders. They're not the same people. They're not.
Okay.
So we've got to be cautious with that. So when we think of ourselves as a leader, how do we show up? And this is where we tend to see the guys doing this constantly, right? We get these employees that come in that have an entitlement attitude. I believe I'm destined for more things. It's a belief. It's okay, right? We're told from children, you can be anything you want to be when you grow up. Some of us carry it through our whole lives, and that's okay. So we come in with this entitlement. I'm more than this. And yet I accepted a role that's the shoveler. Cool. I accepted that. I have to just know that I'm going to do this for X amount of time. This is what it takes for me to climb this ladder in a very conventional methodology. We've got to know it. We can't just come in and go, okay, I signed up at the shoveler, but I think I know more than everybody else. You got to be careful with that. Like it's just not where it is. So as a leader, if we're going to show up this way, we got to understand that because of the cultural division, I don't want to say diversity, cultural division between age gaps right now, that entitlement mentality exists. We got to know it does. It does. It exists. It's a thing. It's real. It's tangible. I mean, you can damn near touch it. We got to understand it's there. So how do we deal with it as a leader? How are we showing up as a leader to deal with that? Because what we know happens, think of your employees as children. If you just tell them, clean your room, what are they going to say? Well, I don't want it. They're going to fight you on it. Instead of, hey, what would it be like if you lived in like your room was just amazing? Wouldn't your friends be happy to come over? Yeah, I guess they would. They might have a different, it's how we lead them. It's how we show up. If we know we are going to work, and I know we're using the word millennial a lot today, but now we're not picking on them. We're just using it as an example. If you are going to hire millennials because they're the demographic that is employable, they have the skill set that you're looking for, and they're affordable to be able to do so, you got to know you can't show up the same way that you would for a Gen Z or a Gen Xer or a baby boomer. You've got to show up different as a leader for them than you would for other people. I mean, here's an extreme example. If you're a drill sergeant, if your job was to be a drill sergeant your whole life and you are a command authority kind of individual, millennials are not going to respond to that by and large. They're just not accustomed to it. So we've got to show up differently as leaders. We just have to. It's just not a choice.
Okay. I get it.
Yeah. So that's a piece. So how do we coach around this is the question. What's the solve? What's the solution?
I've got a harsh solution and I've got a not so harsh solution. So if you've got an employee at will state, you could clearly get rid of the person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sort of employee at will means in layman's terms, if I don't like what you're doing, I can just terminate you
down the road.
Have a nice job, day, life. somewhere else. The other is, you know, have a series of culture meetings, where I call them culture meetings, where an internal dialogue is established and a set of rules is established. And typically, again, this is not business advice. This is business idea. So you have to consult an attorney. You'd have to consult a couple different professionals before employing this. But those of you that own businesses out there, culture meeting, where you set expectations, you set terms of communication, and then you say, okay, you know, each period I'm going to review and we're going to talk about this if we absolutely need to. If we don't need to talk about this, we're not going to have that meeting, because every hour spent internally is another hour wasted externally. So for example, if you're in the apartment leasing business, or if you're in the retail space leasing business, and you have a person in your employ that is not performing up to task, and your job is to fill apartments, their job is to fill one apartment building, your job is to run all 10 of your properties, you're taking an hour to deal with the one person and neglecting your other position. However, if you can really quantify, which is really hard to do, and figure out a system where by meeting that one person, you're actually minimizing your external headaches at this property that you have to keep looping back around, therein lies a value add to meeting that person or meeting with all the people that run your building regularly. So there's another idea. I'm just using real estate as an example because it's a really easy formula, really easy industry to talk about this. You can do it with retail, you can do it with anywhere else.
Yeah.
And then overall,
you hit the point, right? Yeah. You said what if it's that one in 10 employees, and I don't want to glaze over that. If you're going to spend 10 hours on one employee and ignore the other nine, you've got a cultural problem. You've got a cultural problem. So you need to go back to that harsh reality of, is this person in alignment with all of us? Are we all in alignment? If you've got people that are not in alignment, you got to cut them out. I don't think that's harsh at all, Mike. I don't think that's harsh at all. That is business. That's where we are coddling somebody that doesn't belong there. You're not benefiting your business. You're not helping them. They're not in a good space. They're not going to exceed where, you know, reach for greatness. They're going to sit there and settle in good. You're not helping them. So I agree. I don't think that's harsh. I think that's truth.
Oh, great. Well, then I'm glad I'm speaking the truth and harsh to some people. Now, there's another perspective here. The overall energy of the company, you know, if you're a person who's got 10 employees, if you're a person that's got 100 employees, you're still responsible for the other nine or 99 and their well-being and the momentum of the company. And if you're having a cultural problem and you're taking your eye off the business energy, business direction, I don't know whether in some cases, if you got the budget, you know, you hire the old HR department. In most cases in this conversation, people don't have that budget.
Right.
That's where this delta comes right in and says, okay, how do I handle this? Because I believe in a lot of mid-sized businesses that run lean, this is a real problem after a while. And if you don't have a dedicated salaried position, again, you've got to have $85,000 to $200,000 a year to have somebody in place to deal with these things. If you don't have that $85,000 to $200,000 a year that you're paying a dedicated resource person, it's up to you to break off that cultural piece or fraction it out and have that somebody come in like a coach and train and get that person or get that group of people up to speed. So, Jake, I mean, listen, we're almost out of time here. I feel like we've hit the nail on the head. Do you have any other solutions you want to add? We're down to the wire here on time.
No, for the moment, yes, there's tons of solutions. What I would tell you is, if you got bigger questions of that, join the guild. Come do the one-on-one coaching with us. Give us specific examples so that we can dive directly into your business on that. Like, we're here to help. And that's why we're doing this. Come and check it out. And Michael said, hire a coach, do it fractionally. Absolutely agree with that.
Thanks, Jake.
All right, man. Have an amazing day. We'll see all you guys in the guild.